Well, good morning. It's good to be with you again via video link once more. But pray that God will speak to us through his word to us all this morning. Well, this is the second of a series of three, looking at three lesser known characters in the Easter story. And as I mentioned, Easter again, for someone with diabetes, I'm not sure it's a good thing to keep on coming back to Easter, but the events of Easter, yes, always. Last time in our short series, we looked at the criminal Barabbas. And today we're looking at Simon the Cyrenian. Not sure that Cyrenian is in the Oxford Dictionary, but it'll have to do for my purposes this morning. But what can we learn from this guy? After all, we only have one sentence in each of Matthew's, Mark's and Luke's gospel accounts. He's not mentioned in John's account at all. In fact, in John's account, John 19:17, we read only that Jesus, carrying his own cross, he went to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. So here is a man who, among very few, helped Jesus on that awful day as Jesus was crucified by the Roman authorities and Jewish leaders. Well, again, it wouldn't be me, would it, without a little story to tell you. So here's an airline pilot with very poor eyesight who's managed to pass his periodic vision exams by memorizing the eye charts beforehand. One year, though, his doctor uses a new chart that the pilot has never seen before. The pilot proceeded to recite the old chart, and the doctor suddenly realised that she'd been hoodwinked. Well, the pilot proved to be nearly as blind as a bat, but the doctor could not contain her curiosity. How is it that someone with your eyesight can manage to pilot a plane at all? I mean, how, for example, do you taxi the plane out to the runway? Well, says the pilot, it's really not very hard. All you have to do is to follow the instructions of the ground controller over the radio. And besides, the landmarks have all become quite familiar to me over the years. Yeah, okay, that makes sense, replies the doctor. But what about takeoff? Again, a simple procedure. I just aim the plane down the runway, go to full throttle, pull back on the stick and off we go. But once you're aloft? Oh, everything's fully automated these days. The flight computer knows our destination and all I have to do is to hit the autopilot and the plane pretty much flies itself. But I don't see how you can land. Well, that's the easiest part of all. All I do is to use the airport's radio beacon to get us on the proper glide path. Then I just throttle down and wait for the co-pilot to yell, "Whoa!" I'll then pull the nose up and the plane lands just fine. A smooth landing, although I'm not sure you or I would want to be on that plane. When Simon arrived in Judea, it would prove to be anything other than a smooth landing. So let's just catch up with the background to where Simon enters the story. Pilate has given in to the demands of the crowd and sentenced Jesus to death, 27:26. Jesus has been handed over to the soldiers to be flogged, and in their cruel mockery of Jesus, they unwittingly address him as a king with a robe, a crown and staff, verses 28-29, and then kneeling before him, they unwittingly declare him to be a king, verse 29. I'm reminded that a time is coming when everyone will become before Jesus as the King of Kings and bow down and worship him. As we read in Philippians chapter 2, 9-11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm also reminded that Jesus has suffered in the same way from the high priests, in Matthew 26. And that Jesus had told his disciples that this is exactly what would happen. Again, earlier in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 21, where we read, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Minded of the words also in Isaiah many years before, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem." So, having had their fun, the soldiers lead Jesus away to be crucified. Verse 31. 2 points then this morning. The first is carrying Jesus' cross. Carrying Jesus' cross. It's at this point in the story that we meet Simon the Cyrenian, verse 32. So what would he learn about Simon? Well, he had travelled from Cyrene, a Jewish settlement in northern Africa. Thought the distance was some 780 miles. If he had walked, say, at 4 miles an hour, that's going some, for 8 hours per day, the journey would have taken 32 days. By camel or chariot, by boat, a lot quicker. It's likely that he was a Jew, or at least a practicing Jew. That was why he was there in Jerusalem anyway, for the Passover festival. We don't know why he was where he was and what his reaction might have been. Perhaps he'd been part of the crowd baying for Jesus' blood. We don't know. But what we do know is that his plans were turned upside down as he was pulled from the crowd by the Roman soldiers to carry Jesus' cross. Now the Romans required the condemned man to carry the horizontal piece of the cross called the pantibulum through the streets of the town, to serve both as further humiliation and to cause additional pain, as well as to instill fear in the people. And normally it was the victim's last active role in life. But it is likely that on this occasion Jesus, weakened by his treatment from the soldiers and Roman authorities, was physically unable to carry his cross. Yes, truly man, as he was truly God. But there is much more we can learn from Simon, especially if he was a Jew. In God's providence, Simon was blessed to have a close-up insider's view of this amazing event. But it came at a cost. There is no doubt that the cross at that moment would have had Jesus' blood on it. And as Simon comes into contact with this blood, he would have immediately been declared ceremonially unclean and therefore unable to participate in the Passover. There would have been no time to perform the ceremonies to become clean. And in a religious culture where failure to participate in the Passover was a huge burden, this was a massive blow. And let alone the time, the effort and expense of the journey, all wasted. However, wherever his heart and mind were at that moment, we know where his heart and mind went. We know from Mark 15 that his sons were active members of the new Christian church, and from Romans 16 that Simon's wife was like a mother to the Apostle Paul. And so we read in Mark 15, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Now, well, why would Mark use those names except that he was expecting his hearers to know of them? And likewise, Paul in Romans 16 says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." Likewise, Paul would have expected that at least some of his hearers would have known Rufus and his mother. carrying Jesus' cross. Secondly, carrying our cross. Carrying our cross. Before Simon takes up Jesus' cross, we read some very personal, challenging words from Jesus on the same subject. Then he said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Luke 9:23-26. Likewise again in Luke 14, Jesus says, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Well-known words, and in one sense a great commentary on Simon's involuntary actions on the road to Golgotha. But for us, for you, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Then have you denied yourself? Are you denying yourself and taking up the cross of Jesus? In Jesus' day, the cross was a symbol of suffering. We all have our trials and afflictions, don't we? That at times may be very hard to carry, even with God's help. But much more than this, the cross was a symbol of death. So what Jesus was telling his disciples and anyone who would want to become a disciple is that they, you, me, need to put to death their own plans and desires and follow Jesus. Paul takes this thought a little further by telling us we are to put to death the known sin in our lives. So from Colossians 3 verse 5, Paul writes, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." Simon took up Jesus' cross, but Jesus tells us to take up our cross, not someone else's, but our own, if we are to follow Jesus, to identify with him. So what would this look like for us in everyday life? How do we look at life? Living a worldly life with all its transient pleasures and objectives, is that what drives us? How do we look at wealth, success, satisfaction? Do we secretly want to gain the whole world? Is that what drives us? How do we look at Jesus among our friends, family, neighbours, work colleagues? Are we ashamed of Jesus? And how we look at those closest to us? Do we value and honour family members ahead of Jesus in our lives? All good questions that it would be helpful to ask ourselves. Jesus' verdict in all of these circumstances is very challenging. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. You see, Jesus didn't simply call us to believe that he existed, which he did, nor even to believe that he can save, and he can. Jesus calls us to commit our whole lives to him, heart, mind, body and soul, to trust him alone for our salvation, and then to follow him as his disciples. If we don't, if we're not prepared to, then it's equally quite simple. We cannot be his disciples. Carrying Jesus' cross, carrying our own cross. So as we come to a close, Simon learned firsthand that adherence to the laws and the Passover rules would not work. He was a very committed religious guy, but he was not perfect. And he couldn't meet God's high standards. Like Simon, we too all fall short of God's standards. And it doesn't matter how hard we try. Just like Simon, our plans will come to nothing. But the good news is we do know one who is perfect. Jesus was perfect, and his perfect sacrifice redeemed all who call on him fully now and forever. We see later in the Easter story that Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and the Jewish women who followed Jesus also gave up their ability to participate in the Passover. But by willingly letting go of their place in the crowd, they stepped into a personal relationship with the King of Kings, with Jesus, a relationship that lasts for eternity. Are we willing to step out of the crowd? Not forced like Simon, but willingly, in order to identify with Jesus. Are we willing to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him? It may be hard, sometimes as cruel as it must have been for Simon. There was no place for Simon to hide. Forever he would be remembered with Jesus at this point of the crucifixion. With his own sweat and tears, maybe his own blood, he staggered up that hill, carrying that load of shame, that symbol of death. But what an amazing privilege. Perhaps you're thinking it should have been one of his disciples, but only a John appears to be anywhere near to hand. But they didn't help Jesus. It was a stranger, but no stranger in God's plan. What an amazing privilege to have been such a help to, and in the very presence of, the man who had become his Lord and Saviour. Wow. Do you count it a privilege to follow Jesus? Carrying Jesus' cross, carrying our cross to follow Jesus. Let me close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for what we have learned through the wonderful privilege of Simon's testimony being shared with us. And Lord, my prayer is for all of us this morning that we will enter into carrying Jesus's cross, and through that carrying our cross, by denying ourselves and following Jesus with all our heart, mind, soul and strength. Lord, we pray that we will not be frightened to be identified with you, that we will step out of the crowd and come alongside you and clearly state that we love you, we worship you, and with your help we want to follow you every day of our lives for your glory. Amen.